another candidate has dropped out of the Democratic primary for governor. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes says it's time for Democrats to unite around beating Tom Tiffany. It's Friday, July 31st. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Courtney Everett. Coming up, a new federal work requirement could force tens of thousands of Wisconsinites off Medicaid. And people are lining up to try to help Menasha recover from this week's devastating tornado.
Just tugged my heartstrings when I saw everything that happened on the news. I know people that live up there, and I can imagine what they're going through.
Stay with us.
Are you an educator looking for ready-to-use classroom content and engaging professional learning? Visit pbswisconsineducation.org for free videos, games, lessons, and more, built to spark curiosity and support state standards. From writing and Wisconsin history to science and music, find what you need at pbswisconsineducation.org.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes has ended his campaign for governor. In an announcement on social media yesterday, Barnes called on Democrats to unite in order to defeat the presumptive Republican nominee, Congressman Tom Tiffany.
I said from the very beginning when I launched this campaign that the number one goal was taking on and defeating Tom Tiffany to deliver big wins for Democrats up and down the ticket. And now it's our time to come together.
Barnes' announcement came shortly before the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that he allegedly took advantage of his role in the party to have sexual encounters with young adult women. The Democratic Party reportedly reviewed the allegations and found nothing actionable. Barnes is not accused of any crimes. With Barnes out of the Democratic primary for governor, there's been speculation about which candidate his supporters might back. Rich Kramer reports on polling showing his exit might help Democratic Socialist Francesca Hong.
Once considered a frontrunner, Barnes abruptly ended his campaign Thursday afternoon. In an apparent reference to Hong, he said it's become very clear who our nominee is going to be. Hong's next closest challenger after Barnes in recent polling is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. But Marquette University Law School pollster Charles Franklin says his survey this week showed many of Barnes' supporters gave Hong as a second choice. That would push her total support to 43%.
And Crowley only gets up to 10% even with picking up the Barnes supporters. So it leaves a pretty substantial gap between Hong and everyone else in the race.
Barnes didn't give any endorsements when he exited, but called on Democrats to unite and stop Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany from becoming governor. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Residents across the state are lending a helping hand after a tornado caused widespread damage in the Menasha area earlier this week. Larry D. Ford of Oak Creek dropped off diapers and bottled water at a relief drive in Milwaukee County yesterday morning.
Just tugged my heartstrings when I saw everything that happened on the news. I know people that live up there, and I can imagine what they're going through.
Former WWE wrestler and Wisconsin resident Adam Scher helped organize the drive.
The community is coming together now to help get people's feet back underneath them. The donations have been amazing. Anything that anybody donates, it's never too small.
Volunteers with Samaritan's Purse have been on the ground this week. Jody Yoder is a senior program manager with that organization.
We're here cutting trees that have been downed, taking debris to the road, tarping roofs.
A relief fund for nonprofits and community organizations that are helping victims is already nearly $500,000 in contributions. Wisconsin officials say tens of thousands of Medicaid recipients in the state are at risk of losing their health care coverage under a new federal work requirement. Hope Kerwin has more on the change, which will take effect next year.
Medicaid will require adults between the ages of 19 and 64 to work, volunteer, or go to school for at least 80 hours in a month. Some people are exempt, like those who are pregnant, have children, or a documented disability. And there are other less clear-cut exemptions, like people who are considered medically frail. Wisconsin Medicaid Director Amanda Dreyer says the state is still waiting for guidance from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services while trying to build a new renewal system and train staff.
And at some point, we maybe need to just make a choice and go. But in the meantime, still expecting CMS to tell us what that should be looking like.
Wisconsin is also part of a multi-state lawsuit against the Trump administration, claiming the agency's definition of medically frail is too strict. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
There are now 160 confirmed cases of a parasitic stomach illness in Wisconsin. That's according to the latest update from the State Department of Health Services. The disease called cyclosporiasis comes from a tiny parasite and causes stomach problems. Infections often happen in the spring and summer through contaminated produce. In early July, there were only 35 known cases in the state. Investigators have not linked the infections to a single source. Nationwide, the CDC says there are a high number of cases being reported this year. A Michigan outbreak linked to lettuce has infected more than 10,000 people. Doctors say the best protection against the disease is to thoroughly wash your produce before eating it. Many people from out of state are expected to travel close to the tornado-affected areas in Menasha for Appleton's Mile of Music Festival, which started last night. The festival draws in hundreds of artists and thousands of fans. Ross Gerlitz was driving to the festival from central Illinois with his wife, Nan. This is their sixth time attending. He says he was devastated to hear about the destruction near Appleton from Monday's tornado and wants to help.
When you go there, it feels like the whole town is hugging you. It's a little more somber. I'm sure we're going to see some fundraising and such so that we can have the opportunity to help a little bit if we can.
The couple hopes the music at the festival can be a source of comfort for those affected by the tornado. Organizers say they will compile resources for attendees to support those impacted. After the break, a Wisconsin man returns home to Laos and considers what home means. Stay with us.
When so much is happening in the world, who can you count on to tell you what really happened and why it matters? Old Fashioned Reporting, weekdays on Morning Edition from NPR News.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about living between two worlds.
How do you define home if you've grown up in multiple places? It's a question Paul Lohr of Kimberly has grappled with for years. So he went to visit his first home for clarity. He shares his story as part of the Home Is Here project, which amplifies the voices of the growing number of Black, Asian, Native American, and Hispanic residents who call northeastern Wisconsin home.
What is it like to call one of the most secret places on earth home? In the 1970s, I lived there, and then I left. For much of the 1960s and 1970s, this place I called home was closed to the outside world. For the past 60 years or so, it was one of the most dangerous places in the world to visit. After 45 years away, I finally had the opportunity to return home. It's a home that's far, far away from Kimberly, Wisconsin, where my family now lives. It's a home somewhere in central Laos. From an early age, the thought of one day returning home intrigued me, fascinated me, and motivated me. Back in November 2022, I was finally home. I made it to Vientiane, Laos. My main goal was to retrace the path that many Hmong, including my family, took in the 1970s to seek refuge in Thailand. From Vientiane, my wife, Maya, and I, along with our driver and his wife, headed to Longsan. Along the journey, we drove by a section of the Mekong River, where many Hmong, including my family, crossed to seek refuge in Thailand. This is where I lost my mother and one of my two sisters. Like many Hmong making this journey, my mother and sister drowned. We could not salvage their bodies to give them proper burials. I was about 5 or 6 years old. As we were departing the area, Maya whispered to me, "Any tears inside of you?" I, of course, had many unexplained emotions, but replied, "No, they dried up a long time ago." Our next stop was Mun Aw, the last village my family lived in before leaving for Thailand. Standing on the outskirts of Mun Aw, I saw the entire village. I can still visualize our hut. I felt so relieved to finally see a place that I thought I would never see again. The next day, we visited several remaining historical landmarks from the Secret War in Laos, which is a secret military operation by the United States to counter communism in Laos and Vietnam in the 1960s and 1970s. First, we stopped by Phu Biat, which is the tallest mountain in Laos. This is where my father was assassinated. This site was the last stronghold for the Hmong, who supported the United States and stayed behind after the United States had already left Southeast Asia in 1975. Visiting here makes the few wonderful memories I still have of my father even more meaningful. After a week visiting my Laos home, I returned to my Wisconsin home, enlightened, enriched, and fulfilled. I finally felt at peace. I finally come to embrace that my far, far away home in Laos is no longer my home. It's simply now a part of my past. Home is now Kimberly, Wisconsin.
Paul Lohr is the Associate Dean of the School of Education at UW La Crosse. His story is part of the Home is Here project from the New News Lab, a local news collaboration in northeastern Wisconsin made up of 6 media organizations, including WPR and the Green Bay Press Gazette. More information can be found at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And now for a check of the forecast. Mostly cloudy with rain gradually spreading west to east across the state. Heaviest rain expected in the afternoon in the southern parts of the state. Highs today will reach the low 70s west to mid to upper 70s east. Then tonight, periods of rain ending over the northwestern half, but continuing south and east. Lows tonight expected to be in the upper 50s and mid-60s. For your Saturday, breezy, partly sunny in the northwest with clouds in the southeast, where occasional showers will continue. The highs will reach the near 80. And then for Saturday, partly cloudy to clear with lows in the 50s. And for Sunday, mostly sunny and pleasant with highs in the 70s to low 80s. And that's all for Wisconsin Today Morning News. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. We hope you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday for more news.